Good morning, and I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. A lot of times, people are searching out new churches each year. There are different individuals who maybe haven't been to a particular church for a long time, and they want to get back to going to church, so to speak. Maybe take their spouse or friend or children. They want to get their children in Bible classes and things like that. And if you're having discussions with them, they will say, I'm looking for a church that's not so, and then fill in the blank. I'm looking for a church that's not so, and then they have an idea of what they want or what they don't want. I want to talk about that this morning on the program, and I'm glad that you've joined us. I appreciate those who support this program and they're listening, and I hope that our Bible study this morning will be profitable. We don't read of anyone searching for a church in the New Testament. Of course, in the New Testament, there were no man-made denominations like there are today, hundreds and even thousands of different churches. Those did not exist. The Lord's church existed. The church that Jesus built, Matthew 16, 18, existed. A group of Christians in different places. Local churches of Christ existed, but no man-made denominations like you see today with all the different names and practices and divisions that you see today. So, of course, nobody is looking for a church in that sense that we find today with all the different denominations. But even in the sense of looking for a New Testament church, there's no example of that or statement of that. What you do find, however, are individuals looking for truth. The Bereans searched the scriptures, Acts 17:11, and then some of them obeyed that truth. We do have an example in Acts chapter 9 of Saul of Tarsus, who would become the Apostle Paul after his conversion. He wanted to join himself to the Christians there in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 26. But as far as a person traveling around saying, I'm looking for this church or I'm looking for that church, we don't have that in the New Testament. And yet, that's a very popular thing today because, as we discussed last week on the program, we are in this cafeteria-style religion approach to church and religion, and there's all these different things to choose from, like when you would go to one of those old school cafeterias. And because we have all these different choices, people are approaching church that way. I'm looking for a church that has this, but not that. And so this morning on the program, I want to look at four popular statements that are made with regard to church, compare that to what the scripture teaches, and I hope that it will help you this morning to have an interest in doing better at being a part of the New Testament church right here in Clarksville. As New Testament Christians, we are striving to be that at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. We would encourage you to come and be a part of simple New Testament Christianity. And maybe this study this morning, I hope, will encourage you to do that. Not just simply to be interested in religion or just simply interested in maybe what the Bible teaches, but to get up and make a move and a change to be truly a New Testament Christian. So this morning on the program, let's consider this statement, I'm looking for a church. The first one that I like to talk about is a statement that sometimes is made by individuals. I'm looking for a church that's not so dogmatic. I don't want to go to a church where they say, this is the way things have to be in my life. I don't like that in my life, and so I don't want a church like that. I'm looking for a church that's not so dogmatic. Well, I would say at the beginning that any group of individuals who are caustic, they're angry or mean, callous. They don't love people. This certainly does not draw others to Jesus. We need to speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, and that's our motto at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, where we speak the truth in love. We need to be loving and caring and kind and patient. But at the same time, we must stand for truth. We must preach the whole counsel of God, Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. We must never preach another gospel, as Paul talked about in Galatians 1, 6 through 8. And anyone who would do that, Paul said, let them be anathema or accursed. We must strive for the gospel, for the faith, Philippians 1, 27. We must stay within the doctrine of Christ. And we'll talk about that some more toward the end of our lesson. 2 John 9. We must contend earnestly for the faith. To contend literally means to wrestle. Not for opinions, but for the faith, the body of teaching in the New Testament. Jude 3. It may come to you as a surprise that being dogmatic is actually not a bad thing when it comes to God's Word. To say, this is what the truth of God's Word says, and it is fixed, it is objective, it is outside of us, and it is fixed. It is not constantly moving or changing. And we preach that one faith of the New Testament. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 16, when the apostles and the elders in the church at Jerusalem were writing down a decision concerning salvation and what is necessary for salvation and what is not, they wrote down these things, and of course, having the apostles there, it was authorized by the apostles. And when they wrote down these things concerning salvation, they put them in the hands of Paul. He comes to Derbe and Lystra and other places. And in verse 4, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep which have been ordained of the apostles and elders that were at Jerusalem. Certain things were to be kept. And my version says, the decrees. In the original, that is actually the Greek word dogma. These things were decreed. They were written down and fixed. And they were not to be changed with regard to what saves and what does not. And that's very important. The Word of God is dogma. It is fixed. So, it's very important to understand that we need to be loving and kind, but the Word of God itself is fixed. And when we are dogmatic, we are just simply teaching and preaching a fixed truth. It was fixed long before we came on the scene. It was fixed already back in the New Testament period when it was revealed by the apostles. Somebody says, well, you're being dogmatic. No, I'm simply relaying to you God's Word that is dogmatic. And there is a benefit to that, friends. Just consider the opposite of that. The opposite of that would be anything goes. Nothing is fixed. How can we live any kind of life like that? Paul knew how to be gentle, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. He knew how to be loving, Philemon 9. He knew how to be sacrificial, 2 Corinthians 12, 15. But he also knew how to be fixed and dogmatic. in Galatians chapter 2 when he was discussing with others the salvation of individuals and what was necessary to be in Christ and not. When he met other individuals, Galatians 2:15, he writes, "To whom we gave place in the way of subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you." We did not back down. We did not subject ourselves to others who were preaching and teaching something else. We stood firm. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And we need to be like Paul in that matter. We are to comfort individuals, support individuals, be patient with individuals, warn individuals, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. But all of that does not undo the importance of being firm when it comes to the truth of God's Word. So when you say, "I'm looking for a church that's not so dogmatic," you're basically asking for something where anything and everything goes. And if they have just one thing that they won't bend on, say, for example, that Jesus Christ is our only Savior, well, that would be dogmatic. So if it's okay to be dogmatic in one area, why not in other areas of the same New Testament gospel? So think about that. We want to be a part of a group that is firm, that contends for the faith, not their opinions and their own judgments and their own think-sos, but the faith of the New Testament teaching. Let's look at a second statement that is often made. Somebody says, "I'm looking for a church that's not so judgmental." Often this happens when someone has had something bad happen in their life. Maybe they've gone through a divorce. Maybe they want to live in homosexuality. Maybe they have engaged in wrong behavior in the past, and maybe they're trying to make some changes now, but there's still some of that going on in their life. They want to be able to come through the door and nobody say or do anything toward their personal lifestyle. So I just want to come in and I want to sit down and I want to be a part of the group. I want to listen to the music. Sometimes they'll put it that way. And I just want to live my life. I don't want somebody judging me. Well, let's take a look at that. First of all, just like in the last case, I would say that unjust criticism is wrong. Hypocritical fault finding is wrong. Superficial judgment is wrong. We're not to judge according to appearance. John 7:24, we're not to engage in hypocritical judgment where we point out the faults in someone else's life, but we won't point out our own faults. Matthew 7:1-5, and that's the original context when Jesus said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." He's not talking about don't ever judge anyone at any time. He's talking about don't judge others hypocritically when you have things in your own life that you won't take care of. We have to keep that in its context. Read all of the first five verses of Matthew 7, not just the first verse. So I would readily admit that any type of criticism or judgment that falls under that condemnation of Jesus would be wrong today. However, proper judgment of sin using God's Word is encouraged in the New Testament, is important, is necessary to help us get out of sin. We don't take this live and let live approach to lifestyles. The book of Romans, the first several chapters, points out the sin of mankind, and Paul writes this book where he points out sin. and the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And in the first three chapters in particular, it's a body of teaching that points out sin in the Gentile world and in the Jewish world, and then he comes to a conclusion that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God in Romans chapter 3. And then in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. If we take the Word of God and point out sin in our lives and in the lives of others, that is something the Lord wants us to do in our preaching and in our teaching. That's how we change, friends. That's how we come out of the power of the devil. That's how we come out of the world and sin and darkness, is when someone will take the Word of God and point out our sin with that. And I know that there are televangelists and megachurch preachers who won't get specific about pointing out people's sin using the Scripture because they don't want to lose numbers. And let's just be honest, that's a big part of it. But we should appreciate someone who takes the Word of God and points out sin in our lives. Preaching using God's Word, again, not our own personal opinion or what we think or feel, but using God's Word, that's what convicts a person to get them to come out of their sin. John the Baptist did that. Jesus did that. His apostles did that. In fact, that's the work of the Holy Spirit in revealing His Word to the apostles. In John chapter 16 and verse 8, "And He, the Holy Spirit, when He is come, will convict the world in respect of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you behold Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world has been judged." To convict. Conviction came before conversion. To be convicted on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38, they were pricked in their heart. They were convicted, and it led many to repent and be baptized. And so we should want that. We should want someone to preach and teach in a way that will get us to come out of our sin. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, "Preach the word, be urgent in season, out of season, reprove." Reprove, literally to bring to proof, to show from the Scripture what is right and wrong. Rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. And then Paul goes on to say that some don't want that. They don't want to listen to that type of thing. And I'm aware of that. And I'm aware that it's not popular to take the Word of God and convict sin, but that's what we must do. In Titus chapter 1, in verse 13, Paul told Titus, "For which cause reprove them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn away from the truth." If we don't have someone to reprove us and convict us, we just stay in that thinking of men, and we are away from the truth. It's better to come to the truth through the preaching of the Word of God. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 15, "These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So, I realize that that's a popular statement, but we need to understand the truth of the matter, and that is that we need the Word of God to convict us and where we would come out of any sin that is currently going on in our life. Number three, sometimes I've heard people say, "I'm looking for a church that doesn't have too many rules." I'm looking for a church that doesn't have too many rules. Well, first of all, what's too many? Who's to say what number is too many? What rules do you want? There are people who are fine with one or two things that God wants them to do, but just don't add them up and have a whole bunch of things. Well, we need to remember that what we're binding, if anything, is the Word of God. Binding the traditions of men certainly has no place among God's people. Jesus rebuked the scribes and Pharisees for binding their human traditions. Matthew 15, verses 1 and following, Mark 7, 1 and following. And those things had actually replaced and supplanted the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 23, verse after verse, he calls them hypocrites. And much of that had to do with their binding of human opinions and burdens. There's no need to do that. There's no need to even bind personal scruples and opinions. Paul deals with that in Romans chapter 14, verses 1 and following, dealing with whether or not to eat meat or not, or observe a certain day. Paul said, keep those things to yourself. However, we must uphold the apostolic word of God. And there is a word tradition used in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. The word just simply means that which is handed down or laid down. And it's the apostolic tradition that is to be bound today, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. There's a difference between the apostles through the Holy Spirit laying down the word of God and religious people just binding their own opinions. This is apostolic tradition, and we must hold it fast. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Another thought on that is that there are rules and commandments that are found different places in the New Testament, and they're necessary. That's what gives us structure and order in our religious life, just like at school, at home, at work, in society, traffic laws, traffic rules. Those are all important. It keeps us safe. It keeps us alive. Structure and order is good for us, friends, and that's one of our problems. We live in a society where much of that is going by the wayside. We are to hear and do the Word of God, James chapter 1. 21 through 25. It shows our love to keep the commandments of Christ, John 14, 15, 1 John 2, 3 through 5, John 15, verse 10. We are to observe all things that Christ commands us, Matthew 28, 20. So obedience is important, friends. Rules and obedience to those rules are important. But somebody says, well, I don't want to go to a legalistic church. Well, legalism is something different than obedience. Strict or rigid adherence to the law or to a religious moral code. There's nothing wrong with that. If I am trying to follow man-made rules, I don't need to be doing that. We're talking about following the rules that are laid down in the New Testament, and there are some. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, Hebrews 10:25. We are to give a free will contribution of our money, 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. We are to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. There are a number of things that we are supposed to do, and that's important. Again, like I said, it gives us structure and order and safety in our life. So this idea of I'm looking for a church that doesn't have too many rules, Listen, at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, the rules that we are encouraging are those rules that are found in the New Testament. They are not man-made rules. And any pointing out of anything in anybody's life, myself included, is that which comes from the Word of God. And anything that we are being dogmatic about is not some Church of Christ tradition or anything like that, but that which is found in the New Testament for all Christians today. Finally, I want to look at one last statement that is often made, and that is that I'm looking for a church that's not so old-fashioned, not so traditional. This is very popular today. People will say, well, I don't want to go to a church like my parents went to or like my grandparents went to. I want to go to a contemporary church. And you've probably noticed in a number of the mainline denominations, and this has been going on for the past at least 10, 15 years, they've changed the sign out front. There's the traditional service, for example, at 8 o'clock, and the contemporary service at 10 o'clock, or vice versa. Why is that? A lot of people, and a lot of times it's the younger generation, they want the contemporary church. And so, and that typically has to do with different music styles. So a praise band, for example, instead of singing out of a hymnal. And there are other changes that people want. Now, I don't think that we should always long for the so-called, quote, good old days. I don't think that we should always, quote, step back in time. I don't think that that's necessary. However, don't mistake old-fashioned and traditional for what is scriptural. We want to promote what is scriptural. 2 Timothy 1:13, we want to hold fast the pattern of sound words. The Lord's church is 2,000 years old, and those things that go all the way back to the New Testament that are for us today, we want to keep that exactly as it is. We don't want to be progressive. We don't want to go beyond the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. Now, if there's something modern like a PowerPoint presentation, or we might be able to teach or preach using modern-day technology and Facebook Live, which we do at the Warfield Church, all of that's fine. But when it comes to the work and worship of the church, we want to keep those things the way they were in the New Testament and have that simple New Testament Christianity. So friends, if you are looking for a place to be with other Christians and worship God, don't consider these things that we've talked about, dogmatic, judgmental, too many rules, old-fashioned. Consider what is important to Christ as it is found in the New Testament. Be with those Christians. We're trying to be that, and we would encourage you to come be with us as we strive to please God and worship Him in the way that we find in the New Testament. We're so glad that you joined us this morning. If we can help you make that change, if you are looking for that and we can help you with that, please contact us. Thank you for being with us and have a good day.